Shocked, Kenobi stared up at him. Senator. His gaze flickered around the passenger compartment as though he couldn't quite remember where they were. What happened? Bail let go of him and eased back, giving him some space. You tell me. 1 minute you were meditating and the next you were yelling fit to wake the dead. It was a dream, Kenobi muttered. A memory. Wincing, he sat up and shifted to brace his back against the bunk space behind him. Then he pulled his knees to his chest and wrapped his arms around them. Bail stared. It was a disconcertingly vulnerable gesture, jarringly at odds with the vivid memory of a Jedi who could carry a starship with the power of his mind and emerge unscathed from a hail of blaster fire that would have slaughtered any ordinary man. And yet here that same Jedi sat now, lost and uncertain, as far from laying down the law as it was possible to get. He stood, brushed carpet lint from his trousers, then retreated to the galley and poured Kenobi 2 fingers of Corellian brandy. He returned to the passenger compartment and held out the glass. Drink, he said sternly, and if you think you don't need it, go look in a mirror. Kenobi took the brandy without argument and tossed its contents down his throat, and if that wasn't a clue that he'd been shaken to his bootstraps, well...
Thank you,
he said hoarsely, handing back the glass. Bail waggled it. More?
No.
He put the glass in the galley's minuscule sink, then headed for the nearest empty chair and sat.
Should I be concerned? For the mission, I mean.
No, said Kenobi.
Despite the brandy, he was still ashen, the livid finger marks on his skin unfaded.
I'm sorry if I disturbed you, Senator.
So, Bail leaned his elbows on the table. We're heading toward a planet with a Sith temple on it, which apparently contains Sith artifacts, their purpose unknown. You're having bad dreams, and this is just a coincidence?
Correct.
Bantha poodoo, he thought. Master Kenobi, we had an agreement, he said coldly. What you know, I know, remember?
Kenobi glared.
I remember.
Then what was the dream about? What did you remember?
Nothing of relevance. It was personal, Senator, unrelated to Zagula.
How can you be sure?
Because I'm sure.
Kenobi clambered to his feet, awkward with none of his usual oiled ease. It was my dream. I think I know what it meant.
And that would be my point, said Bail. Now I want to know too, because we both know you're perfectly capable of massaging the truth when it suits you.
Kenobi's chin came up, his eyes glittering with temper. There was angry color in his face.
It concerned an incident from my childhood.
Your childhood, Bail repeated, and heard the skepticism.
Really?
Yes, really, said Kenobi. I did have one. He should let it go at that. In truth, what Kenobi had dreamed was none of his business. And if the Jedi said it wasn't connected to the mission, he should accept that assertion. It was, after all, a matter of trust. And in order to get it, one had to show it. But he really wanted to know what could so rattle someone like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Curiosity, his besetting sin.
So, what happened? He said, giving in to temptation. In your unlikely childhood. For a long, silent moment, Kenobi just stared. Then he folded his arms and frowned at the deck.
I was 13, nearly 14, on a field trip to Tanab. Part of my Padawan training with Qui-Gon, I was doing a blindfolded force-seeking exercise. Being young and inexperienced, I underestimated its complexity. As a result, I tumbled into a fire beetle pit.
Fire beetles? Bail shuddered. I thought those things were eradicated 30 years ago. Kenobi looked up.
They were, from populated areas. We were in a wasteland on the Ba-Tanab Peninsula.
The faintest of wry smiles. He had himself well in hand again.
There's no point to a field trip if you don't encounter obstacles.
Obstacles? The Jedi considered carnivorous beetles obstacles?
The more I learn of them, Bail thought, the less I understand. What would they consider a nest of Gundarks, I wonder? An amusing diversion?
It must have been terrible, he said.
Not at all, Kenobi said politely. It was hilarious.
No, you nearly got eaten alive.
But he didn't say it. He wished now he'd kept his mouth shut. No wonder Kenobi had come out of his trance screaming.
Look, fortunately there was no harm done, Kenobi continued briskly. And in the end, the incident was a useful lesson about the folly of overconfidence.